Hello and welcome back to another episode of Scottish Football Covered. I am your host Stefan, and I have a full lineup joining me today. We've got Finlay, Mac, Archie, and Robbie. Robbie, going to start with you. You were absent last week. How did the house move go?
The house move went very smoothly. I've just started a new job. But yeah, I've missed a few weeks. I'm excited to be back. It's been a little bit too long away.
You're probably the only person I've ever heard that said, "Oh, my house move went smoothly." For me, I couldn't think of anything worse. They say it's worse than it's up there with like a death in the family of how stressful it is. Don't know if I'd go to that level, right? But just saying. Mac, how you doing?
I'm good, mate. It's been a good weekend of football. Obviously, the conditions cancelled some games, which we'll get into, but looking forward to recapping it and looking forward to looking ahead to the European games as well.
Perfect. Archie, how are you feeling today? Did Tottenham get a result?
Unfortunately, we did not, Stefan. It's cold, it's windy, and Tottenham are sat in 15th at the moment. I don't know where the wind's going to come, but if it's not coming against Leicester, then yeah, I'm looking forward to some championship games next season, definitely.
Ange ball, baby. Finlay, how are you doing?
Well, good. I was kind of felt teed up to make fun of Tottenham, but that was such a dis like a depressing response that it doesn't feel fun anymore. So I think I'll just stick to Scottish football.
That's fair. But I guess before we start, I don't know if anyone's seen the clip. This is just totally off the cuff, by the way, just that we were speaking about this. I don't know if anyone's seen the clip of on TikTok, and it was, I can't remember her name. The name's just escaped me there, but she was talking about how Ange Postecoglou needs to be more polite. What do we think of that? I mean, Ange
Oh yeah, I did
Postecoglou.
see that.
He's a character, right? He
I
talks a lot of
agree.
nonsense.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, like you just said there, I think like he is a character. Like that's where a lot of his like charisma comes from. I think, you know, if you're not bringing the results, then you're bringing like, you know, something like refreshing coaching wise, or at least like when you're facing the media. And you know, the media, like we all give like a lot of bite sometimes to like coaches, players, you know. So I think it's only fair that like, you know, they dish it out a little bit, be a bit like, you know, spicy with it, for want of a better word, you know.
Yeah, no,
That being said,
100%.
though, sorry, can I just quickly, I do think that the question that they asked Postecoglou wasn't that much of a nibble at him, I suppose. I think they said, what, a familiar story. It is a familiar story. The Spurs now, after today, I think have lost 8 of the last 11 games, which, you know, so it is a familiar story. I just don't think it was really, it was pretty poor to bite out the way that he did, I think, to be honest.
I mean, I think the reporter, you know, that way where you do things, right? You want to try and make a story, you want to try and make something here. I don't think he should have said it, right? But I don't understand why he said it. And I'd be more annoyed at Ange for biting to it more than anything, because he could just have not bitten to it. So in a kind of sense of baited, I'm there for it.
Oh, I agree. I just think maybe it's fair to say that when you ask a question, just to be like, "Oh, great way to start an interview." I thought that was right. Well, it's not the journalist's fault for having to ask why you're so awful. The least you could do is just, I don't know, start it a bit better. But I, you know, we'll move on. I'm sure Andrew's heard plenty of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there, he's done it. I mean, I don't know, did anyone see the famous YouTube clip of him? When he was on Australian TV, was it Craig Ferguson he was arguing with? And it was quality television. So yeah, I mean, it's Ange Postecoglou. It's just box office. Let's focus back on Scottish football. A weekend of top flight games going ahead and some change in positions. And a weekend where the storm came in and literally blew, well, not the roof off of Celtic Park, but it blew the netting around the stadium and the I don't know what you call them, the plaques hanging down like from the stadium. They blew them off. So had an impact. So Celtic versus Dundee was postponed. Rangers play took on Dundee United today, ran out 3-1 winners. Yesterday's results, Aberdeen slumped to a 3-0 defeat at home to St Mirren. Hearts picked up yet another win and a 3-2 win against Kilmarnock. Ross County and Hibernian settled for a draw. And just as the previous week, St Johnstone put two goals past Motherwell to secure 3 points. Two defeats in a row for Motherwell against St Johnstone. I think we spoke about Motherwell quite a lot at the start of the season and how they were kind of in a good run and they had Lennon Miller and everything was going kind of rosy for them. Doesn't feel all that rosy now, considering they're still in an okay position on the table. They're still in the top six, but you have to think with teams like Hibs and St Mirren and Hearts and Dundee climbing the table, it won't be long before Motherwell are overtaken, Finlay.
No, that's true, but what is baffling to me is that Motherwell can lose these two games in a row and draw the one before that, and Aberdeen can lose or not win for 13 games and still be fourth and fifth. Like I think it says more about how kind of badly the teams below them seem to have, not Hibs. Hibs have done really well recently, but St Mirren, for example, every time it seems like they're coming close, they just bottle it. And I think of the two, despite the run, I fancy kind of Aberdeen to stay in the top six. I just don't see Motherwell kind of getting results as long as Lennon Miller is out, because I've watched them a few times in recent weeks and they are so unconvincing going forward. Defensively, no doubt they can hold out when it matters, but there is just such a lack of creativity. And to concede like two quick goals against St Johnstone, you just knew that they should have put that game to bed but couldn't, because I mean, up front, not to be disrespectful, but you're relying on Tony Watt to create things for you. And I mean, the results in the last few weeks speak for themselves.
No, absolutely. Is that Motherwell's biggest problem, do you think, Mac?
Probably, but then I think as well, Finlay kind of touched on it there. There might just be a bit of an over reliance on Lennon Miller, and you could probably say his days at Motherwell are somewhat numbered. There's a lot of interest. Was it Udinese? We put a bid in for him there this window. They'll be standing firm for a respectable fee. It's probably going to be their record sale after David Turnbull. Then, but just if his absence is, it's no coincidence. In his absence, their form's plummeted a wee bit, and then I think it's only going to get worse once he eventually does go. But kind of going off topic. Do you think it would be best for Lennon Miller to go to somebody like Celtic or a Championship side or an Italian side, Stefan?
See, I think that's a really good point, right? I'm a big fan of clubs in Scotland selling abroad and going down the Italian route. You look at Lewis Ferguson, you look at Aaron Hickey, right? Could have went to either a Celtic or a Rangers and could have prospered or, had somewhat of an impact. Or they could go and ply their trade in another country, gain some valuable experience. And then tried to go on and play in the biggest stages. I mean, Aaron Hickey's in the Premier League, or obviously I know he's injured at the moment. Lewis Ferguson, despite having a bit of an injury, he was tipped when Motta left Bologna to maybe follow him to Juventus. I still think he's a good enough player that he could be able to do that. I think when you're a Lennon Miller, right, or you're a David Turnbull, or you go from a club like Motherwell or a club like Hearts to maybe not even Hearts, but like Dundee to Celtic, right? Or a Rangers. It more than most times it doesn't really work out. I'm gonna be really honest. I think the David Turnbull experiment at Celtic failed. And that they were, fortunate to get the money from Cardiff when he did eventually leave. I think Luke McCowan is the other side of that. I think he's come in, he's looked quite decent in Celtic. He's looked like he's a player that can fit into the Celtic jersey. I don't know about Lennon Miller. I he's 18. He's still relatively quite young. I don't know what the best route would be. I would, if I had to say it, I'd probably go to Italy if it's me. But yeah, I don't know if anyone else wants to sort of disagree with that, or
I agree with you. I think if he was to go somewhere like Italy, I think he would probably get more time as well. And I think at the age that he's at and the development that he needs, you know, a player like that needs to play regularly. And I just can't see that happening if he went to Celtic or Rangers.
Finley, what about yourself?
No, I think I agree with everyone. I think Serie A is kind of the best option for him. And even if, because let's not forget, Udinese's still a, I mean, they might not be the best team in Italy, but they're still a good like team. And I think it's a jump up from the Scottish Premiership. And even if he does end up having a loan or two, I think it's just the best place for his development. Also, away from the spotlight that he would be in if he moved to Celtic. And you mentioned Luke McCowan being a success story. Luke McCowan has probably had fewer minutes than would be good for Lennon Miller's development. Like Luke McCowan's kind of, he it's not stagnating, but potential wise, this is about, I'd say this is kind of his level and maybe a bit more. But because Lennon Miller is so young and he has such a high ceiling, I think he just needs to be in the first team a lot. And I think maybe do it away from Scotland fans who expect him to be the next big thing. I think the championship, I definitely don't think that's a good move for him. I think Ben Doak has done really well there, away from the spotlight, and it suits him to a T. I would just like to see Lennon Miller in a league where people aren't just trying to crunch your ankles and maybe just kind of get that time away in Europe, because it's worked for a lot of players. And hopefully, you know, players like Billy Gilmore will get more game time. I think it's just good for the Scotland national team as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd find anyone hard pressed to maybe disagree with that, but yeah, it'll be an interesting one to see how that develops. St Johnstone, on the other side of that, they're still rock bottom in the table. However, the result has meant that the gap is slightly, well, actually, yeah, the gap has narrowed to Kilmarnock, but it is still a massive 7 points. We had this conversation last week. Do we still think St Johnstone are a cert to go down, Archie?
I would say it's almost certain at the moment. Look, I'm not like disputing. Like I know we're going to talk about a couple of climbers in the league this episode, but I mean, at the moment, yes, the league is still kind of open. I mean, there's only about what 5 or 6 points separating top six from the foot of the table. But St Johnstone, you know, they're not. They haven't really prodded, or you know, they haven't really like been at the races for a lot of their games. And unfortunately, even if you do have that kind of resurgence, ultimately, your players start to drop off, and you just have to wonder, you know, if nothing's going to happen in the transfer window, if nothing's particularly going to look bright for you, you just have to kind of adapt to the situation you're in and try and hold out for results. But listen, I mean, you know, you've got players, you've got teams rather who are falling into that kind of a conversation about relegation. You know, Ross County, you know, even Dundee are not that far away. Like, it's nothing certain. It's nothing cut from the same cloth, but you've just got to hold off and wait, I think. But I think St Johnstone at the moment, I really can't see another conversation where they're not going back down.
Okay, let's talk about some of those league climbers then. Hearts ran out 3-2 winners against St Mirren. I think for a lot of the first half of the season, we were talking about how poor Hearts have been, the lack of goals from Lauren Shankland. Since sort of after, or maybe even just before Christmas and into the new year, Hearts are on somewhat of a resurgence. They are now up to ninth in the table, you know, level on points with Dundee, 3 points behind Hibs, and even 4 points behind Motherwell. A team that we maybe thought would be hanging around relegation, somewhat close into pulling into the top six. How massive would that be? I guess as a Hearts fan, you would take that, right? I guess top six has to be the aim, Mac.
It's got to be the aim. It's a shame for Hearts because just saying if they could get top six would be a good thing. If you said that to them at the start of the season, they'd be fuming. But it's a big win against Kilmarnock and another struggler who they've surprised me as well. You know, didn't we kind of sink get manager of the season last year, and they looked all right in Europe, and they've just absolutely what's the opposite? I'm trying, I'm going to say exceeded expectations. But I mean the opposite. I can't even think of the opposite. Exceeded. But anyway, Hearts, they need to get top six at a club that size. Anything less is unacceptable.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Derek McInnes came out after the game, and wasn't happy. I feel like this is becoming a particular theme with Derek McInnes. He did it a couple of weeks ago against Celtic. He's not a sore loser, right? But he's not equally as, he complains quite a lot when, things happen. Is that something as a fan, if you're a Kilmarnock fan, do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear Derek McInnes rolling out with maybe some excuses of how certain things didn't go his team's way, or do you just want to, okay, it happened, move on? What's the thoughts on that, Robbie?
If I was a Kilmarnock fan, I'd probably be on the opposite side there. I'd probably be thinking it's not excuses. It's not, for example, I think he was making a lot of noise about the Hearts goal that went in, the one that I think it was Grant scored, about that being a foul on the keeper. When I watched it, and I just couldn't see how it was. And I just think if you're a Kilmarnock fan, you're probably thinking, we're not getting cheated out of games. We're just not playing very well. And I feel like, Gaffer needs to just take a little bit more responsibility for the fact that the team isn't playing the way that it should be playing. Because if they don't take responsibility for it, they're going to end up getting stuck right down in the relegation battle, even though, I mean, well, they already are, but they're going to be, I can't see them getting any further up that league with that kind of a mentality.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's fair. I think, like, when you, this is always like a hard argument to make, but see, if you concede three goals, you don't deserve to win a game of football. Like, that's the way I see it. Like, it's one of them. Like, I think the two goals he said that the Kilmarnock could have done better defensively. Great. Like, that's great, but I mean, coming out for the first goal, whether or not he thought it should have been offside or whether or not it was a foul, it's just one of them. Everyone gets that in football, you just have to take it in the chin. But I've just noticed this little trend of him coming out every so often and mimping and moaning about officiating or how this didn't go his way or that didn't go his way. I don't know, it just becomes boring after a while. Finlay, what's your thoughts?
No, I think you're right. I think he's been doing this for a long time this season, and don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic manager, but I think what he's doing is an excellent bit of spin. Because if in that time, for every time that you blame the referee, if he'd said instead, "Ah, oh, we didn't play well, I take responsibility," we might be talking about Derek McInnes getting the sack. He looks a lot weaker if he says that. And I think he's just kind of, maybe he's trying to create an us versus them. No one's really buying it, and I doubt Kilmarnock fans aren't either, because I don't think he's helped by the fact that Vassell and Watkins just can't get a goal between them. And so when they lose, and maybe he says it's referee things, if you're a fan, you're thinking, well, either way, I don't see how we would have won that given the way we're playing. So it's slightly unconvincing, but I understand why he's doing it.
Okay, let's move on. Ross County and Hibs settled for a draw in Dingwall. A late penalty from Ronan Hale secured the point for the team in the Highlands. Levitt made it 1-0 on the 42nd minute. Hibs on somewhat of a decent run, Mac. Feeling good about their chances of staying and sort of trying to compete for places in Europe?
I definitely. I guess you could say the sun is shining on Leaf, as the Proclaimers famously said.
Jesus.
I'm here all week. No, but seriously, it's a massive turn of fortunes for David Gray. It was really refreshing to see when they came out with a statement and they backed him. I think any other manager probably wouldn't have that credit in the bank when they get that time. So for them to stick, and he's a novice manager as well, it was his first job, but for them to stick and for it to finally start to be paying off is quite good to see. I usually don't typically agree with clubs hiring managers. I think it always ends up hiring managers, hiring ex-legends as their managers. But it's nice to see it working out.
I mean, it's an interesting one, right? Because for the longest time on the podcast, very early on into the season, I remember having these conversations about David Gray is literally hanging by a thread, and you talk about having credit in the bank. The board came out and backed him. He's delivered on their back, and he's now, he's they're into the top six. They have a chance to fight for Europe. As a Hibs fan, and I'm this in a general sense, Finlay, they'll be feeling really great about themselves as well, because for the longest time, they weren't.
Well, yeah, they will, and like it's a much deserved feeling. It's been a really tough start to the season. My only thing is, see, the difference between sixth and seventh is about six goals and goal difference, and like we've talked about how tight the points are from like 11th even to fifth. So even just a few goals or a couple of points could be the difference between top six. That's a great result, and like we're in a dogfight. This is a horrible way to end the season. So I think if they finish sixth or if they finish seventh is going to completely change how we view this season. I think maybe you'll forgive David Gray for finishing seventh, but you'll still feel underwhelmed given that they've now got themselves up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've definitely been. I just feel they've been overperforming recently. Like in all the games I've seen them, they are scoring, and Martin Boyle has obviously got like about six goals in three games. And if I had the numbers with me, I would feel like they're overperforming XG because they don't really create that many chances. And I feel like, I mean, I don't want to be negative Nancy, but it just feels like it's going to dry up. So I kind of worry for them unless they can kind of start creating more in the middle of the park.
Okay, while the wheels have somewhat gone on for David Gray, up in Aberdeen, they've absolutely fallen off for Jimmy Tailleen. Aberdeen slumped to an horrific 3-0 battering by St Mirren. If you've ever seen that Simpsons meme where it's like, stop it, he's already dead. This is what it felt like, I guess, yesterday at Pittodrie. Archie. Massive result for Stephen Robinson's men, keeps them in the hunt for European places. But how damaging is that for an Aberdeen perspective, a team that were flying, 10 games, running, they were all conquering. Then that result to Celtic in the League Cup final, I guess, brought them back down to earth with a right bang.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think their last couple of finishes in the last few seasons for St Mirren, it's been what, fourth and fifth, I think, in consecutive seasons. But of course, there's going to be that expectation on them now. But you've also got to think about the realism for it. Robinson knows there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road. But today they were really full of that energy and that intent. But I think that's the only way that they're, putting forward their chances when the team is at 100%. So it really is a team effort to make sure that Robinson's side are able to get up into those European places. But I mean, for Aberdeen, I mean, if it's not going to come against a St Mirren side who've been less than shrewd this season, then where is it going to come? Taylan, he continued the comforts with how much he's got left to do this season, but with this team, it's nowhere on the pitch right now. So you have to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. And if there is something going on behind the scenes, how long are the fans going to give him before everything unravels? We've talked about turned corners, we've talked about teams on the up, but they've really turned a corner away from anything positive. And it eventually, teams are just going to capitalize on that. So yeah, I think it's a really worrying time if you're an Aberdeen fan, but you just hope that final stretch of the season, you kind of maintain your position, and that's the best thing you can hope for right now. Absolutely.
I don't use Twitter a lot, or X, or whatever the hell we're calling it these days. I don't use that an awful lot, right? But I did see a lot of tweets after that game, particularly the ones around Thielen out. Surely we're not at that stage yet, Robbie.
I don't think we're at that stage yet, but it does seem a bit like it's a when does it end for Aberdeen? This is now 13 games they've gone without winning, and they have not looked good at all in, I don't think, any of those games where they haven't won. I'd just like to say as well, on I think it was episode one or two, while they were flying, I predicted that the wheels would come off, so I just want everyone to know that that's what I said. I think that they're quite fortunate that they had such a strong start. Otherwise, there would be a lot more to worry about, and I think then the manager outcalls would be a lot louder. Because, like Finlay said earlier, somehow they're still in fourth place after not winning for 13 games. It just seems like it's the same problems again and again and again as well. That the Rubizic error for the first goal was absolutely horrendous, and I remember seeing, I don't think it was Rubizic, but maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember who they played against, but they let in some shocking goals there. It just seems like their defense is just nervous and just consistently nervous. So I just don't see where it's actually going to end. You know, they've got Hibs away from home next, and I really do think that that'll be a tough game for him as well.
Yeah, it's one of those performances, and you know we look at where they were 8, 9, 10 games into the season. I mean, we were talking, you know, they were going toe to toe with Celtic. Then it was like, okay, well they're, you know, Celtic have moved away from them now. It's all about holding on to second place and battling it out with Rangers. Rangers have went on somewhat of a decent run despite their dodgy away form. Aberdeen have just gone on a disastrous run of unbeaten in 13 games. Football, it's a funny old game, and I guess that's why we love it. Maybe not if you're an Aberdeen fan or a Tottenham fan like Archie, but hey,
Give
it's one of
over.
them.
I'm
Let's
here for
move on
more of
to.
this, please.
I
It's too easy. It's too easy.
Are we allowed
You
to
can't
drink on this?
not, right? I can't not do it. It's one of them. Let's move on to the final game of the weekend. Dundee United versus Rangers. Rangers, obviously, as I've mentioned, bit of dodgy home form up until today when they conceded the first goal. They hadn't went on to win a game, but that changed today with goals from Matondo, Proper and Dessers. And they ran out 3-1 winners against Jim Goodwin's Dundee United. Solid start for them. Dalby puts them 1-0 up, cements his place as a top goal scorer in the Premiership. But quite quickly, Rangers came back into it through a lovely strike from Diamande. Proper, I guess, was in the right place at the right time to slam home a second. And Dessers, after his goal in midweek, was there for the third. Positive performance from Rangers, Mac.
Aye, it's like you said. I couldn't believe that graphic when it came up, how poor they've been once they went behind. But it's just, it was the goal for Diamande to get them back in the game was just the typical goal that you need to just get you back in the game. It wasn't it was just a strike and it went in. You know what I mean? And it was just a, I don't want to say a moment of brilliance because I think the goalkeeper could have done a bit better. But it was one of them. If you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle. And that got them back in the game, and it was all Rangers in the second half. I know Dundee United actually had a go hit the post, and one just zipped across the 6 yard box, but it was all Rangers. It was quite comfortable in the end. And then the red card, I'm sure we'll get into that, but it's a bit soft for me. But it does, as we said off air, there's intent, and then you can't use your hands to a player's face, can you?
Well, that's the thing. We will come on to that. You stole my thunder there. But yeah, positive result for Rangers. Finlay, what about yourself? Rangers have all but guaranteed second place now in the Premiership, and unless they're going to give an absolute mammoth fight to Celtic, and Celtic are going to have an absolute calamity, second place is secure.
Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened, but now it's more just to, it's time to save face until the end of the season. Just show that you can win away, because obviously that was a, it's been a horrible time away from Ibrox. And it's also a case of using these kind of performances to show that you, if you're a Rangers player, if you still deserve to be at the club next year. And I'd like to give a special mention to Dessers, who's had a horrible time with fans, despite the fact that he has scored a fair few goals this season and a fair few last. And, you know, there have been calls for him to be sold. And I know that if the money was right, he should go. But I think if Rangers could learn anything from Celtic, it would be to take care of squad depth. And so to have a second striker who can put away, you know, if he gets 20 goals a season, 20 goal seasons is such an important thing to have. And I don't think we should kind of underestimate what that kind of loss would do to them with games coming. You know, we've seen games come thick and fast in January. A player like that is very important. And, you know, two fantastic goals in a row. So fair play to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think anyone can disagree with that. Will Jim Goodwin be disappointed with the result today, Robbie? Or can he be?
Yeah, and no. I mean, I think Dundee obviously looked sharp in the first, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. They went 1-0 up, but it just all seemed to come apart. I feel like Rangers were they are the better team, and they look the better team for the majority of the game. So, can you be disappointed with it? Yeah, I suppose obviously you can if you go 1-0 up and then start to, you know, fold. But the Rangers were the better side today, and they got beaten, you know, by the better team.
Okay. Mac, you mentioned it earlier on. Mohamed Diamande sent off for what I'd expect to be violent conduct. Guess I just I was going to say a show of hands here, but anyone think it wasn't a red card? No? Okay,
Radio
that answers
silence. I think, yeah, I think it was.
that. Say again, Finlay?
Sorry, I was saying I think it was a red. I don't know if anyone disagrees.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe from the silence it wasn't. Mac, you alluded to that you thought it was soft. Do you think if Rangers appeal it, do you think it'll get overturned?
There's a possibility. Obviously, Don Robertson didn't think it was on VAR. He didn't think it was a red card or else. It wouldn't have sent Nick Walsh over the screen. Shout out to Nick Walsh. I quite like this. This is probably the first and last time I'll ever give Nick Walsh a shout out. But I like it when the referee goes to the monitor and sticks with the decision. It takes a lot of courage, and it's easy to just give in to what the VAR assistant ref is saying. And then in terms of Diamandé, I think it is a bit soft, but as I mentioned earlier, there's intent. And I would say Diamandé's probably been lucky in a few other games. There's games where he should have been sent off and he hasn't. I mean, there's an incident with Hitati in an old Firm, and then I think there was one at Ibrox in a different game where he caught something quite high with us where he stood. So these things tend to even themselves out through the season, as we're often told.
Okay, no, fair. That's us recapped all the weekend's action. Let's go through the week. Celtic 1-0 against the Young Boys. But in all truth be told, it could have been a very high scoring game with both teams scoring goals. Young Boys were unlucky not to score very late on against Celtic. They had Kasper Schmeichel to blame for that one because they just could not get by the Great Dane. Celtic's 1-0 win, and as slender as it looks on paper, I don't know if many people will agree that in actual reality it was probably it should have been more and it could have been more. Massive win, massive props to Celtic. They're into the playoff rounds of the next stage of the Champions League with a game to spare. Mac, Kyogo having a first half hat-trick denied is almost in it's like in a different life. It would have been different. Like that would have been the perfect way to see out his Celtic tenure.
I also think it's quite fitting, though, that Kyogo scored two offside goals. The amount of times he's been caught offside in the positions in the Celtic career, but it would have been a perfect send off. And no, nobody actually knew it was his. Well, it was. It's going to be his last game. Obviously, the transfer's not been confirmed yet, but it would have been the perfect send off for him, and it's the least of what he deserves.
I guess for you, Archie, is this a good move by Celtic to to sell Kyogo. £10 million, 30 years of age, but still clinical in front of goal. Is this a mistake from Celtic, do you think?
Well, I mean, I know we're going to be coming on to transfer sagas in a little bit, but I think this is maybe the worrying thing for Celtic in the way of business. There's almost this kind of air of certainty around them, what they think they've already achieved, opposed to what they actually still need to achieve. Fantastic League Cup, but I mean, like I said, I don't want to get into it too much, but all business can be tidy, and it's always good to see players outgoing. If they've determined with the club that they want to make that move, I still think moves like this, really like financial decisions really like set a statement for a club. I think it's particularly important that you're being mindful of how that's being represented to you as a football club. What kind of statement are you putting forward when you're selling talents like these, and for quite low prices ultimately? I think it exerts confidence, yes, but maybe too much confidence, and that could be a risk for them, possibly. I don't know.
Finlay, what about yourself?
Yeah, I don't know if it is a mistake. I'm sure Celtic would have loved to keep him, but I think Brendan Rodgers mentioned that Kyogo asked to leave in the summer. So if anything, they've kind of done well to make him hold out for that long. They've secured the qualification to the next round of Champions League football and got £10 million for a 30-year-old player. I mean, what that gets you. I mean, if Celtic are smart, they can buy two players with that. And I think they look set to get Jota back. I think his return was delayed only by the kind of bad weather. But if I'm not mistaken, they sold Jota for about 25 million. They sold Tierney for about 25 million. By the end of this month, they could have both of those players for less than 10. So I think Celtic have done really well financially, and I've been very impressed by them. My only thing is, don't Celtic are not just a selling club, and so they need to use that money not just to be the best team in Scotland, because they are at the moment, and it would take a lot for Rangers to come back. But what they need to do is make sure that that money is spent so that they could be in the next round of the Champions League regularly. Like, that should be the bar set now. With the kind of money they have and the infrastructure that's in place, I would expect anything less than the kind of the playoffs now a disappointment. But I don't think Rodgers really had a choice with Kyogo. It seems like he wanted to leave.
Peter Lawwell is currently dancing on his heated driveway, literally saying, "You doubted me," because a lot of people, a lot of Celtic fans are critical of the board. They're critical of Peter Lawwell. For ages it was, "We've got all this money, go and spend it. Let's create a team that can compete in Europe, can play well." I think Celtic showed their sign of intent with the acquisition of Arne Engels. There's talk of the Danish player Kvistgaard coming in. That's looking like it's going to be into double figures to prize him away from Brøndby. You're right, Finlay. Celtic aren't just a selling club. That for so long the business model was buy cheap, sell high. Now it seems to be buy high and sell higher because, it's only one way up from that sort of instance. You mentioned Jota coming back. Mac, how big is that for Celtic? The wings have been a bit of a concern. Out with Maida and Kun, there's not really been any other. And I'd throw James Forrest into that. He's been unlucky with injury in the last month or so. But other than those three, Celtic haven't really had anyone that can come out on the wing and sort of make that position their own. Yang and Palma. Surplus to requirements now that Jota's probably most likely back in the building.
Yeah, you'd imagine it would be. I think it's such a statement going out and signing Jota. For me personally, he's one of the probably I off the top of my head, he's in the top five Celtic players in terms of like getting bums off seats, you know what I mean? So it's such a statement. And then the thing with him coming back compared to Tierney, I think a lot of Celtic fans kind of always thought Kieran Tierney is going to come back at some point, albeit probably not at 27, 28. Whereas for Jota, he was gone and that was it. So to actually get the chance to see him again, it's going to be unbelievable because on his day he's absolutely amazing, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Rangers, they lost to Manchester United. It was 2-1. It took a late strike from Bruno Fernandes to get all 3 points for Man United. Were you impressed with our sort of depleted Rangers performance, Finlay?
Yeah, I think they did fine. Obviously, they didn't get the point, and it was, a bit probably disappointing for Philippe Clement and Rangers fans who travelled. But you still have to remember Manchester United are a squad filled with talent. Like, this is a team, a very expensive team that's been put together. You've got Bruno Fernandes, don't forget, is a kind of leading player for Portugal. Every player that they have plays for their country at the top level. So I don't think it's that shocking of a result. It would have been a, it's kind of strange to say that you expect more from Old Trafford away. I know how Man United have been in recent weeks, but the important bit now is to just move on and get points against Union Saint-Gilloise, because if they don't get a win there, that would be a disappointment. And obviously, Jack Butland lets in that goal, but I think he does incredibly well for the rest of the game. So I think he could be forgiven maybe for that. What I would call a cock up. It was quite embarrassing. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think people can be too disappointed with that performance. And also, again, Dessa's great turn and shot. Fair play.
I think it's one of them where you get into the game very late on through a great goal by Dessers, and then you're just unable to hang on. It now means that Rangers most likely are going to be in the playoff round, as opposed to being straight into the top eight and into the next round after the playoffs. Alan McCoist was on commentary duty for TNT Sports, and he said, well, I think it was before the game, he said, Rangers only need to beat one team. What's our thoughts on that? And in Scotland, what's our thoughts on that statement from Alan McCoist, Archie?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear that particular moment. I think, we've talked about kind of like squad depth for Rangers already. They just don't have that kind of presence that Celtic have had. I think I remember earlier in the season when Celtic, I think it was against Leipzig, we talked about how they came off from that game to their next league fixture and, looked a carbon copy of themselves, as in the game that they did in the Champions League. Rangers don't have that ability, or at least they're not making due diligence of any players that they've got in regards to rotation. So they get really low, they get really energy sapped, and that makes it really difficult for this Rangers side. But I think even though they're going to be going into the playoffs, they've still got a very good chance of ultimately qualifying, because I think they really need to determine where their priorities are going to lie. Again, we talked about energy sapping. It's after that League Cup result, and then they came back into the league and made a statement of themselves in their next league game. I think, Europe is really where they need to be focusing at the moment, and ultimately that's where all the resources have to be going. But they just need to kind of battle that pressure and weather the storm a little bit at the moment.
Mac, what about yourself? What did you make of Alan McCoist's comments?
I know what he means, but it's a bit disingenuous, especially considering the position Rangers were in earlier in the season, where they were behind Aberdeen by X amount of points. But at the end of the day, it is and it has been a two-horse race since about 2018, and obviously way before 2012 as well. So a bit disrespectful to other teams in the league, but at the end of the day, if I'm being honest, I can see where he's coming from.
Anyone disagree? Anyone think the comments maybe were a little bit ridiculous?
What's that? Well, you sound like you have something to say on it. What, do you
I mean,
disagree with him?
yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, yeah, as Max said, you can see where he's coming from, but I mean, it's a bang out of order comment to make, especially when you consider how perilous Rangers were looking this season. You know, they lost, they'd drawn at Motherwell, they'd lost, they were actually fortunate not to get beat at Motherwell. They were lucky, they were beaten at St Mirren, they've been beaten by Kilmarnock, they've drawn at Hearts, they've drawn at Hibs. For a team that only needs to beat Celtic for their fans to be happy, they've absolutely struggled this season. And I just thought, for a guy of, Mick Hoist has been around Scottish football, you can see what audience he's kind of pandering to here at that point. But I just thought it was totally misplaced, if you ask me.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I didn't hear it because the pub I was watching it decided to play music at the same time, which was really nice of them, and host a quiz. So thank you to that pub that I won't name. But yeah, maybe because he's so kind of intertwined with the club, maybe he sees it as a like that's what the minimum is for Rangers is like we should be up there with Celtic. And I think maybe in saying that, just forgot about the role other clubs play in the fabric of Scottish football, and maybe it was actually a little bit disrespectful without realizing.
I just think when you're a pundit, right, and you're on there to be objective, right? See, unless you're employed by Rangers TV, you're not really there. You're there as like a Rangers perspective, right? But should be objective enough to make sensible comments. I just thought it was just tongue in cheek, maybe, or a slap in the face to other clubs. I'll let other people decide that, but for me, nah, didn't really take to it. And it's not the first time he's sort of made comments, and then the opposite things happened. I mean, I'll refer to an incident where I think it was Alistair Johnston after his first or second derby, and he came out, and Alan McCoy's come out and said, "Oh, the wee man's learning his tricks. He's get the violin out." And then weeks later, he was out doing the same thing, getting his violin out because something didn't go his way. I don't know, I'm not on here to throw shots and throw shade at him, but I don't know. Sometimes it's better to just not say anything and just not look like a bit of a, not gonna say it, but it's there. That went down a totally different route than I expected, but do you know what? I'm here for it. We're here for our honest opinions on Scottish football. Let's wrap that up. Just trying to think if there's anything else we have to talk about. We could have went into the Rio Ferdinand tweet. Did anyone see that, saying that Bruno Fernandes could score 112 up in Scotland?
I never seen that.
Just an odd thing to say, but just one of those that you're like, okay, thank you. See you later. You're the third choice on a Thursday night game.
Yeah, it's quite tongue in cheek from Rio Ferdinand. But again, when you look at the players that have come up from England, your likes of Freddie Ljungberg, I won't even say his name, but he's been in the press this week for doing pretty lousy things. Then you've got Nico Kranjčkar come up, didn't really flourish in Scottish football. So I don't know. I think. Said this, but I think English pundits and maybe media play down Scottish football, which is why on a Battle of Britain, it's important that we have these games because, as I say, I thought Rangers pushed United really close on Thursday, and most likely Celtic will give it a game against Aston Villa on Wednesday. Let's move to the point of the show where we have the quiz. Mac, you're the champion. Who do you want to face?
Well, I thought there was going to be a showdown between me and you, Stefan, but I think you've chickened out. So
I've
I'll
not had
go.
Finlay make this quiz yet, but anytime Finlay wants to do what he said he's going to do, I'll
Sorry,
happily
Stefan
rip
sent me
your.
a message saying, no, oh, please not this week. I'm not feeling it. So I've had to tuck it away in the drawer.
Yeah.
Any of the freedom. I fancy my
Tw
chances.
post
I'm
post that
in good
text on
form.
Twitter and back it up.
Next week.
Next week, okay. Matt, who do you want to face?
Yeah, I'm in good form. I could take one and all freedom at the one time, but if I had a gun in my head, I'd like to face Archie and then
I
come out
knew
with
it.
my stake.
I you know what? I fucking knew it. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Oh, beep.
I knew I. Oh my day. I'm fucked. Okay.
Beep. No, I had
Oh,
to do that.
bleep that, bleep it.
Let's get into it. Mac, I'm gonna mo knock you out in the breakout room. I'm just gonna clarify breakout room. And yeah, give me 2 seconds. Okay. Archie, you know how this works. You've got 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, we'll pass. We will not come back to it. So forth and so on. Are you ready?
No.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, what is the rescheduled date for the postponed Celtic versus Dundee fixture?
February 28th.
Celtic have faced two clubs from the same nation in this year's UCL. What nation is it?
Belgium?
Who is the top Premiership top goal scorer?
Kyogas.
What's Hibs' current unbeaten run of games?
12.
And I'm going to ask you this because I made a mistake with the last question. Kyogo signed for Celtic from which club?
Oh, Jesus. A Wren. No, not fucking Wren.
That is your
Oh, no. No, cut
final.
that. I'm...
No, that is not getting cut. That is exactly what I wanted to happen from that. All right, I'm bringing Mac back in.
Oh, I hate him, honestly. He's
Love it.
smiling away in that waiting room, you know? He's like, I've got.
He's back. All right, Mac, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
You excited to see how this goes?
I've put the pressure on myself after my ridiculous comments, but I've boasted, but let's go for it.
You have. All right, 30 seconds on the clock. You have to answer as many questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, you can pass, but we will not come back to it. All sound good?
That's good.
Perfect. Let's go. What is the rescheduled date for the postponed Celtic versus Dundee fixture?
Stuff of February.
Celtic have faced two clubs from the same nation in this year's UCL. What nation is it?
Germany.
Who is the Premiership's top goal scorer?
Sam Dalby.
What's Hibs' current unbeaten run of games?
Seven.
Kyogo signed for Celtic from which club?
Vassell Kobe.
And Rafael Fernandez is from which country?
Portugal.
All right. Mac, how do you think you did?
I guess Germany, and as soon as I say that, I know I got it right. I think I got one wrong, but I can't remember what it was.
And Archie, what about yourself?
I'm not chatting. I'm not talking. No.
All right, let's go through the answers. What is the rescheduled date for the postponed fixture between Celtic and Dundee? Mac, it's the 5th of February. That's 1-0. Celtic face two clubs from this from the same nation in this year's UCL. What nation is it? It is Germany because it was Borussia Dortmund and RB Leipzig. Who is the Premiership's top goal scorer? It is Sam Dalby. Hibs' current unbeaten run of games is 8. So it's the only one you got wrong, but it does leave you in a strong position of
Hit the post.
being ill up. And Vissel Kobe is the team Kyogo signed for Celtic from, not Ren, Archie. And Rafa Fernandez is from which country? It is Portugal. So it was a 5-0 win, Mac. Well done, sir.
Why
did you let him pick?
Funny. It was going to be a listen. I think it was going to be a bloodbath, despite whoever he picked, right? Because I don't know. I think you panic, and I think Finlay's panicked, and I think Robbie's panicked.
Yeah, it's just that 30 second like down my leg.
It's hard, and I'm going to absolutely smash it when I take his crown next week. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm
If I
going to
beat
make
you.
it feel like a meat grinder for the two of you. But I'm interested to see. I think it will be a good one.
If I beat you, Stefan, we can start doing the, you know, on Clyde one, they gave Roger Hannah the minus two. We can
Yeah.
start doing that. We can start doing that only. A
Okay,
handicap.
I'm there for it. We've heard it on the podcast. Just for clarification, Archie, it was Vissel Kobe, not Ren. Just clarification.
Oh, you got to cut it out, please. However,
No,
bad
no
it's going, I
chance.
promise.
No chance. It's going to make great podcast and audio. That is us done for this week's episode of Scottish Football Covered. I've been Stefan, joined by Archie, Mac, Finlay, and Robbie. We will be back same time, same place, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcast. And we will see you all again next time.